Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope? 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 Hope, bringing others hope. And that's what we need in this world indeed. So do not be afraid to keep each other safe.
Dear listeners, thank you for joining me once again on Second Chances with Hilaria Asumo on Radio Africana. As always, we begin with Hopebringer by Jean-Paul and Roxanne Asumo. This song always sets a calm tone. It brings the room into balance, and I can feel that as I come into the show. It reminds us that life is full of quiet openings and new chapters. So that was Hopebringer. It's a gentle reminder that even when life shifts unexpectedly, something steady remains within us. So tonight, we open a new theme titled Letters to the Living. And this today is a reflective space, a space to speak honestly about what people who survived illness, people who gave life, and people who carry the emotional weight would say to us if they could put their words on paper. To guide this evening, we use a direction called the Circle of Givers. This circle includes those who give while alive and those who give through legacy. Both acts carry deep meaning, and both acts show that life continues through kindness, intention, and courage. Before we enter the first letter, I want to mention next week's special guest. I know I've been saying I'm going to bring somebody on all this while. I've been looking for people who can actually speak and touch those people who are still hesitant. So next week, we will welcome Esohe Sarah Osagede, a powerful young woman who faced kidney disease from age 9, reached complete kidney failure, and received a life-saving transplant from her mother. She returned home and created the Esso Kidney Alive Foundation to help others. And in coincidence, we are both from Edo State. Although I'm from the inner part of Edo State, she is actually original Benin resident or child. So she will join us next Sunday for our Myth Breakers episode. So you just tune in next Sunday. And I promise you, it's going to be an electric section. So if you need help for your own journey, you can reach our organization at www.WSHBMEKidneyNetwork.org.uk, or you can call our support line on 07862-348-994. And you can also join our Facebook group, the Black Kidney Network. Just search for it and it would come up. So, that over, let us begin tonight's first letter with a song that opens the heart. Here is Only You by Rick Asani. Let the song settle your hearts before we go deep into these letters I've been talking about. Let it bring ease and let the song prepare you for the next letter we will explore tonight. So here is Only You by Rick Asani. I'll see you back here in a bit. Don't go away. That gentle one from Rick Asani's Only You sets the right tone for our first letter tonight. This letter comes from the people who give life in the quietest and strongest ways, the living donors who step forward with intention, and the deceased donors whose families allow a legacy to continue through another person. If you are a recipient, you know what I'm talking about. And people who have given the organs of their loved ones to save or improve other people's lives, we hold you in high esteem. We thank you. And if these donors could speak directly to us, their message would begin with a clear truth. I gave so that life would not stop with me. This message holds no pride. It holds no desire for celebration. It's a message rooted in love, courage, and understanding. Donors know that life can change quickly. They know that we rely on each other in ways we rarely acknowledge. And we know that without donors making those selfless decisions, a lot of us won't be here today. Living donors make a choice that carries both vulnerability and strength. They walk into surgery with the knowledge that their decision will give someone else a chance to rest again, walk again, dance again, or breathe again without struggle. Many do this for a child. Many do it for a partner. Some do it for a friend. Some do it for a complete stranger because they believe life should continue wherever possible. However, very few of us from the African Caribbean community think like this. And I hope that you listen to me today, that your heart would soften and you will start to think about what you can do for the next person in our community. Because if living donors could write directly to you, I believe they would say, do not waste the days you have. They would remind you that your body carries you through the world. They would remind you to listen to your own signs. They would remind you to check your blood pressure, take your health seriously, and stop pushing symptoms aside. They would also say, let love guide your decisions. Living donors do not give out of pressure, they give out of choice. That choice shows the depth of their human connection. It shows the strength of family bonds. It shows the way compassion moves through a community. Now, having said that, let's turn to the deceased donors. Their stories carry a different weight. Their families often make that decision at a moment filled with sorrow. And in the middle of their pain, they choose to bring light into another home. They choose to allow someone else's life to continue. This choice does not remove their grief, but it gives their loved one's story a new shape. It gives that story movement. It gives that story a future. I want to thank all those families right now who are making those decisions at this moment as I'm speaking and giving somebody else they don't know, some people they don't know, a second chance at life. And if our deceased donors could speak today, their letter would hold gratitude. They would say, carry my gift with honor, live fully. Be gentle with your time. Use your life wisely. Their message would not be heavy. It would be steady. It would remind us that even in loss, something meaningful can grow. I am an example of that. I carry my gift with honor. And I'm living my life as fully as I can. And also through gratitude, giving back to my community. For recipients, for those who are doing the little they can in gratitude for their gifts. For those who cannot because of one thing or the other, it doesn't really matter. But just the fact that you live your life fully, you are honoring the memory of those deceased donors. Families of deceased donors often tell me that this gift keeps them anchored. They say it gives their pain a purpose. They say it brings a sense of calm, knowing that a part of their loved one is still bringing joy, laughter, or breath to someone else's family. This is the kind of generosity that cannot be measured. It moves beyond wealth. It moves beyond recognition. It becomes a story of compassion. The circle of givers teaches us that whether a person gives while alive or gives through legacy, the message remains the same. Life is precious. Life should continue. And let your gratitude shape the way you live. As someone who lived through kidney failure and received a transplant, I often reflect on my own donor. I do not know them, but I know their name. I do not know their family, but we have exchanged letters. But what I carry is their gift, and I carry it with respect. My steps carry their legacy. My work carries their intention for me to be alive, for me to be able to do the things I do today. My voice carries their compassion forward into the world. Their letter to me would say, make your life count. And it does. So I try to honor that every single day. And I never fail. There are days where I feel I am tired, but then I think about my donor who is dead, who actually, despite his death, I am able to live today. And I pick myself up and I go out there and do what I am meant to do. If you're listening tonight and you lost someone who was a donor, this letter honors you too. Your decision allowed another family to breathe again. Your courage carried a life. Your love changed a future. This message belongs to you as well. If you would like to talk about your own journey or need support, you can reach out to our organization at www.wshbmekidneynetwork.org.uk. If speaking directly feels easier, call us on 07862-348-994. And if you want community and understanding, join our Facebook group, the Black Kidney Network. As we move into the next part of tonight's journey, I want us to rest in a song that brings warmth and comfort. This song speaks about care, devotion, and the gentle nature of connection. Here is Odo by Kiddy. I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you back here in a bit.
See me, I no get 30 billion. Oh no, yeah, well. But I got so much love to give you. I got so much love to give you.
Had a nice time listening to it. That song was a gentle reminder that love and care guide many of the choices we make, and we know that Now that our spirit is steady, let's move into the second letter of the evening. This one comes from survivors, people who walked through illness and came back with wisdom they wish to share. And I'm one of those. So as Odo settles quietly in the background of our thoughts, let's talk about people like me, survivors, who have walked through pain, uncertainty, and long nights. People who faced fear, faced loss of strength, and faced the weight of illness. People who live to tell their story. Not a lot of us recipients, not a lot of us survived. And as we all know, there are some people who die whilst waiting for a transplant. But if we survivors could write directly to the living, our first line would speak about time. And I want to represent all survivors this evening and say, value the hours you have. They are not guaranteed. When you live with kidney disease, your sense of time changes. You do not rush through your days. You do not ignore your body. You do not brush aside the quiet signals that something is not right. Trust me, you know. And very quickly, you pick up the phone to speak to people, to speak to your medical team. And I want to tell you tonight to listen to your body when it whispers so you do not wait until it shouts. We know what it means to ignore tiredness and hope it will disappear. We know what it means to see swelling and pretend it is nothing. We know the fear of waiting too long before seeking help. And we want others to avoid that path. Do not carry everything alone. And a lot of us have tried to do that. We try to smile through the pain. We try to hide our fear. We worried about being a burden. We pushed ourselves even when we felt weak. When we look back, we realize we deserved more softness. We deserved more care. We deserved a listening ear. And tonight, I am representing all the survivors in the UK, and we write this message to you. We want to tell you not to isolate yourself. You are allowed to ask for help. You are allowed to rest. You are allowed to feel tired. You are allowed to be human. We also, most times, speak about gratitude. Not the big flashy gratitude people post online, but the quiet daily gratitude that rises when we wake up without pain, when we walk across a room without stopping to catch our breath, when we eat a meal without worry, when we hold our child, our children, and for others, their grandchildren, and feel present in that moment. When we see our younger ones grow up, get married, have children, when we see our children grow up and graduate from university, this was something we never dreamt of. We understand that life is not measured only by milestones. It is measured by breath, movement, and peace. And I know that all survivors would also want to write about relationships. Illness changes the way we see people. Some of us step back because we do not know what to say. Some others step closer. And some people show up with food, with calls, with time, because they feel that this is what they can offer. But we want to say to everyone, pay attention to the ones who remain steady. These relationships become a foundation during the hardest seasons. We also speak about fear. And we would say, fear is real, but it does not control the end of your story. Many of us felt afraid of the future, afraid of the next appointment, afraid of surgery, afraid of dying. But fear did not stop us. We kept moving one day at a time. And you can do that too. We would also say health is not a luxury. Treat it with care. And that's the truth. For those people who are healthy, just ensure that you continue to be healthy. Do things that keep you healthy. Because when you lose it, that is when you realize how important it is in your life. I want to encourage the living to check their blood pressure, monitor their health, eat well, reduce stress, and listen to early signs. And we want to also remind you that ignoring a problem does not protect you from it. If you're listening tonight and you're working through your illness, whether on dialysis or managing your kidneys at home, this letter belongs to you. You are strong, you're trying, and you're still fighting. You deserve every support. And that is why I created the WSHBME Kidney Network, a place where survivors, families, and patients can speak freely. Our website is www.WSHBMEKidneyNetwork.org.uk, and you can call our support line on 07862-348-994, and you can join our Facebook group, the Black Kidney Network. So as survivors, we understand the power of community because we needed it at one time. And our letter ends with a reminder that life is a gift. Use it with care. Use it with purpose. Use it with gratitude. To honor that message, let us move into a song that brings joy, strength, and light. It reminds us that love and celebration still have a place even in difficult seasons. Here is Ada by Flavor. This song carries softness and celebration. Let it lift your spirits while you prepare for the final letter of the night. Here is Ada by Flavor. I hope you enjoy, and don't go away. I'm back here in a minute.
Have you seen my beautiful baby? Have you seen my tomato baby? Oh, ELA, baby, suffer the cool me temper. Ada, baby, na sugar, sugar. Yo. Everybody, they wait. Put a cane in our palm. If I didn't buy my car, better soup on a money kill a mo. Ada, mwamba, pick him, ya. Ada. For everywhere, I don't know the lack of that. I get up for up and down, baby. Na tomato, baby, too fresh like morning wine. I don't know the lack of that. Everybody, they wait. Put a can in a bar. If I didn't buy my car, better soup on a money kill. I don't want to pick him, yeah. Oh,
By Flavor. I hope you enjoyed that. I was dancing away in the studio. I particularly like that song. Every time I hear it, it takes me back. It's a gentle reminder that joy still finds its way into our lives, even when the road has been heavy. Now, as we move into the last letter of the evening, this one comes from families, the silent pillars of every kidney journey. So, welcome back. We have read the letter from the donors. We have read the letter from the survivors. Now, we turn to the final letter of the night. And this one comes from the families, the people who walk beside illness, often quietly, often without recognition, and often with strength they do not speak about. I know quite a few donor families, and I'm a friend of the Donor Family Network. This is a group of people, I think there are more than 100 in that group, a group of people who have given, who have made that decision to donate their loved one's organs to save or improve somebody else's life. There's this particular lady called Linda. I know she wouldn't mind me mentioning her name, but three members of her family, you know, who have died, the family have made a decision to donate their organs to help others within their community, to have a second chance, to live a better life, see their children grow up, go back to university and obtain a degree. So many things people have done, and they ask for nothing back. And they have just, you know, they've made it seem like it's nothing, but it is a huge, huge sacrifice and decision to make. So today, when I'm talking about families, I most especially put Linda and her family in front of this segment because they are an example of selflessness. In our community, in the Black community, the African Caribbean community, there are some people who have come forward to donate their family's organs when they die. Unfortunately, they won't come out to talk about it because in our communities, in our tradition, it's not something that we do. So in order not to become, you know, a subject of discussion or ridicule, they would rather not say anything about donating their loved one's organs. That needs to stop. It really does. And that is why this letter tonight is very important. If families could write to the living, their letter would begin with honesty. They would say, "We stood with you in your pain, and we stood with ourselves in our fear." Families carry two emotions at once: love and worry, hope and exhaustion, calm and anxiety. They try to stay strong so that the person they love does not break. Many families do not realize how heavy the load is until they look back. Some time ago, I did say that both my children were my carers. They didn't think about it. As young as they were young carers. There was no support from anywhere, just the three of us, because their father was out of the country. Both my kids looked after me. But, you know, about some few months back, both of them were talking to me, and they said they didn't even realize that they were carers. All they could think about was their mom was sick and she needed help. She needed support. And looking back, they realized how heavy that load was. But at that time, there wasn't an option. It wasn't an option for them to say, no, I can't do it. They just did it because they felt they had to. And I'm ever grateful to my children. And today, they're writing songs, they're performing songs, singing songs for my charity because they know it's very important to me. And I know that there are other families, you know, out there whose parents or children are going through all of this. And they are standing by them. For those who cannot continue because it's too painful to watch their loved ones suffer, I say it's okay. We understand. And we know that is the love you have for us. That's why you couldn't stand it. And families who look after their loved ones would say, illness does not belong to one person. It settles in the whole house. And that is the plain truth. When one person is ill in a home that is so closely knitted, everybody suffers. It changes morning routines. It changes meals. It changes sleep. It changes the sound of the house. Some days it brings silence. Some days it brings frustration. Some days it brings unexpected tenderness. Because your feelings are all over the place and you don't know how to behave. And it's okay. When you feel angry, let it out, because keeping it in could make you ill also. So ensure that, you know, you have that support. You have somebody or a service that you can run to. And speak to somebody and get that load off your chest. So families would say, we stayed up when you slept. We worried when you tried to appear calm. We carried the fear you did not want to speak about. This is the reality many families know well. Families of those on dialysis know the rhythm of the machine. They know the weight of waiting. They know the quiet sigh when exhaustion enters the room. They know the emotional demands of long-term illness. They often do not talk about their own tiredness because they want to support without adding burden. If families could write a full letter, they would say, please talk to us. Do not carry everything alone. If you're on dialysis and you do this because you want to spare them, they would rather you speak to them than carry everything alone. So if you're on dialysis and you're listening right now and you don't talk to your family, after your dialysis and you get home, hug whoever is at home with you and tell them you want to talk. Families want connection. They want honesty from you. They want the freedom to support without guessing. Because whilst they are guessing, you are getting frustrated. They are getting frustrated. Who helps the other? They want to feel needed in a helpful way, not in a helpless way. So please reach out to them. When they're doing something wrong, let them know. It's not their fault. They're not in it. You are the one in it. And you can explain to them how you want things done. And they will be willing to help. Now, let's turn to the families of deceased donors, my heroes. Their experience carries death. Their letter would say, "In our loss, we wanted another home to have life." And it does. The homes where those donated organs go to, it changes. There's life again because the families in that house heave a heavy sigh of relief that their loved one is out of the woods. And your decision comes from a place of courage. These families of deceased donors, it comes from love, and it comes from a desire to give meaning to a difficult moment. And those families who make this choice often speak about peace. They say the gift brings comfort that helps them move through grief. And I thank them for that gift that they've given, and those who are considering right now to donate their loved one's organs. That decision, however heavy it is, whatever you arrive at, I say thank you for even considering it. For families of living donors, they have their own letter too. And they say, "We trusted love more than fear." They walked through tests, they waited for results, they watched recovery with hope, and they carried the emotional weight of the decision long after surgery was over. To this family, I say thank you. I say thank you for considering to donate whilst you're still alive. And across all these stories, all these families share one message. And that message is, value the people who stand beside you. They carry much more than you see. So if you're listening tonight, and your family is walking through a kidney journey, this letter is for you as well. You deserve support. You deserve space to breathe. You deserve understanding, absolute understanding. And if you want a community where families speak openly, reach out to us at WSHBME Kidney Network. And again, our website is www.WSHBMEKiddenNetwork.org.uk, and you can speak to someone on our support line at 07862 348 9944, and you can find strength among others on our Facebook group, the Black Kidney Network. To close this final letter, let us move gently into a song that speaks about closeness, support and presence. This is With You by Davido featuring Omale. It reminds us that walking beside someone, whether in joy or pain, carries its own kind of love. Let the song settle you as we prepare to end tonight's conversation. I'll be right back.
Ooh, 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 yellow. I know people forget you. If I speak English, you will. Cha-cha-cha, no walking. I don't want to punish you. I want to punish you. If you see my baby, you go shut up. I'm okay to find a big makeup. Yeah, baby, lie down. No. Finish work for me. Oh, tomato. Put that thing back.
That was With You by Davido featuring Omale, and that song is a peaceful way to hold the messages we have shared tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. So thank you for spending the evening with me. We have walked through three letters, and the first is from the donors, the second from survivors like me, and the third from the families who donate, both deceased and living donors. Each letter carried truth, each letter carried emotion. Each letter offered wisdom for how we live, how we care, and how we support each other. If tonight's message touched you, share it with someone who needs guidance, comfort, or clarity. And if you or your family are living through kidney disease, remember that you do not have to walk alone. Our organization is here for you. And most especially, you have to be there for each other, because you going through your journey, your family are also going through it with you. There's pain when you are in pain. There's suffering when you're suffering. Every emotion you feel, each member of your family who loves you feels it alongside. So when you think that you don't want to bother them, they know and they can see. So you have to reach out so that both you and your family can comfort each other. Because sometimes they find it hard to imagine the pain that you are going through. I know when I was doing mine, my younger sister Cynthia would call me and she's crying on the phone. And she's saying, "Mama, how are you doing? Are you okay?" And she was the happiest person alive when I got a transplant. And even till today, she's still on this journey with me. Still watching out for me, still asking, calling to find out how I'm doing, thinking, "Oh, what would you like to eat?" I just came back from Nigeria and she was right there at every step, ensuring that I was okay, doing everything to make sure that I do not have any issues whatsoever. I'm ever so grateful to her. I have other sisters who care for me as well. I'm not just calling just Cynthia. I know that, you know, all of them at one time or the other have done what they can for me. And they've worked with me on this journey, my sisters. And I know that there's some people out there in the community who will have some people, some friends who will be standing for them. I never forget my high school girlfriend, Onyebuchi Odiaka, who took that huge step to say she was going to test to be my donor. Unfortunately, she was not able to donate to me. One, she wasn't a match, and secondly, we were on the paired scheme, but we never found a match for me. But today, she's like my sister. We're very close because of that shared experience we had, and we still have to today. So if you have a friend who's done that for you, or you have somebody, your neighbor, somebody from the community who's done that for you, remember that that is a difficult decision to make, especially as somebody from the African Caribbean community. The sacrifice that friend made is an example for others to make that same choice. So reach out to people. If you're on dialysis right now, reach out to them and ensure that you speak about the pain you're going through. Help them to understand how they can help you. So next Sunday, we welcome a remarkable guest. I just talked about her at the beginning of the show. I saw her, Sarah Osagede. She lived through kidney disease from childhood, survived complete kidney failure, received a transplant from her mother, and returned home with a mission to help others. She leads the Esso Kidney Alive Foundation and will join us for our Myth Breakers episode next Sunday. So please tune in. Our story will really move you. As we close tonight, let me leave you with a simple proverb. A tree that shelters others does not fall in vain. I'll repeat that. A tree that shelters others does not fall in vain. So to close tonight's show, one thing we are assured about is that all will be well. So tonight, I will be leaving you with Davido with his song Assurance to reassure us of the promise that donors, survivors, and families hold inside them their journeys. Donors give us the assurance that life continues. Survivors give assurance that strength grows in quiet ways. And families give assurance that no one walks alone, even when illness brings fear or uncertainty. So these are the same qualities that keep people going through kidney disease and recovery. So I hope you can reflect on that. Until next Sunday, good night, dear listeners. This is Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu on Radio Africana. May your week bring strength, peace, and purpose. I'll see you next week. Don't forget, it's at 5 p.m. on Sunday next week on Radio Africana. Here is Davido with Assurance. I'll see you next week. Bye.
You're the one I want, though. Before my liver start to fail, you're the one I need, oh. Before cassava start to fail, and if I ever leave, oh, make what I carry me, they go far away, far away. So I am looking for the sister. Your mama, my lover, oh. She got the dollar. She the way designer, oh. So I am looking for the sister.
my lover, oh. She the way designer, oh. So I am looking for this.
Gonna be on site.
See my shoulder. Make you rest up.